It had been suggested when we were meeting in executive session that if there had been one more candidate, if you had a total of nine, that the board would have considered resigning so that Franklin I thought you were our friend. But since there are only eight, we are going to make a motion to appoint somebody this evening from the group. And again, our sincere thanks to everyone for coming out. And please realize that only one can be appointed, and that we would hope that you would give some serious consideration to running for the board in April. I think we have a group of outstanding individuals here that would do a true service to the children of Clinton Township. Ms. Gregory, if you would, please.
I would like to make a motion to appoint Mr. Scheibel to the position of Board of Education member.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Grace. There's a motion to appoint John Scheibel to the position of Board of Education member. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Lebbing?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkhoff?
Yes.
Motion carries 8-0.
Congratulations.
At this time, we'll swear Mr. Shadle in.
Yep. Scheibel. Scheibel.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same and to the governments established.
To the same and to the governments established.
In the United States and this state.
In the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I, state your name.
I, John Channel.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by law.
For the office of a member of a Board of Education.
For the office of a board, for a member of a Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
That I will faithfully, impartially, and justly.
Perform all the duties of that office.
Perform all the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Let's get the meeting started, okay? Okay. In here is
your packet,
the agenda, and the backup.
Before we move on to the superintendent's report, there is one item I'd like to bring to the attention of the entire board as well as the public. There are certain things that we do in life that I think have a lasting effect that we probably remember for the rest of our lives. I think in terms of getting married or having children, really significant things that, again, we'll probably remember for the rest of our lives. We have a board member that had an experience yesterday that I believe she will remember for the rest of her life. I would like to commend and congratulate Michelle Christie, who yesterday ran the Philadelphia Marathon, 26.2 miles, and I believe that that's something that she will definitely remember for the rest of her life. So, Michelle, congratulations. Moving on to the superintendent's report, Mr. Carroll.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. Under enrollment, our current enrollment as of November 1st is 1,684, compared to last year at this time, 1,717. That's a drop in enrollment of 33 students. No suspensions to report in the month of November. I've structured the rest of my reports based on our strategic plan and some of the ideas moving forward from each of the schools. The one under student achievement, I would like to just report out a little bit regarding our success program. That is where we look to get a full contingent of Unified Arts staff at Spruce Rock and Patrick Garin, and in doing so, support the learning in and out of the classroom. Our success stands for students understanding core content and exceeding state standards. Just to give you a little overview, at Spruce Run, what we've been able to do with the addition of Unified Arts staff is add 30 hours in a six-day cycle of support in the classroom. Basically, that support is seen through, right now, in the we're through the phase of identifying children at risk, not only for literacy, but for math support. Some of the things that we looked at was kindergarten literacy assessments, the developmental reading assessment, the kindergarten core word identification assessment, and writing samples from last year. Going into first grade, we looked at not only the developmental spelling assessment, but the developmental reading assessment and the first grade core word assessment. And what we did was we ranked the need of each child. Those children are found with significant read towards emergent reading and literacy goals were put right into our literacy support program with the two teachers that we have there, and as well as the rest of the children were given additional support in the classroom with the help of our Unified Arts staff. At Patrick McGarren in grades 2 and 3, again, the first phase started with looking at pre-assessing the children, looking back at their first grade scores for second grade scores for third grade, teacher recommendations. One of the biggest things that we use is the dynamic indicators of basic early literacy skills, or DIBLES as it's known, to see where the children fall in the way of need. In that school, in a six-day schedule, we are able to give another 28 hours of support to those children in need. What we'd like to see moving forward is continued support outside of just literacy, and look where it could support children in math. Moving on for the rest of our strategic plan, under productive citizens, one of the things that we did here at the CTMS in filling a need for our 36-day schedule of Unified Arts was the creation of a library program by Suzanne Chitomer, our teacher of the year at the middle school, who created a literacy program where our eighth graders go up to Spruce Run to support literacy in first grade. The idea there is not only the benefit for our first graders who get to work with role models, but really it's a benefit for our eighth graders. I just so happened I was in lunch with Mr. Griebeck at the time that our eighth graders were returning with Mr. Chitomer, and they were beaming at the idea of helping the other children and laughing at, I don't remember ever being that small, and wow, it was great, and when do we go back? It was really just nice. One of the things that Mr. Griebeck and I are talking about is looking at the idea of building that sense of self-worth, and this is the type of program that would absolutely do that, where a child does not have to worry about peer pressure because they're in the role as the teacher is. They're helping others to learn. And in doing so, it breaks down those barriers, and what it ends up doing for the mentor is making them get a sense of who they are and what they can do for their community. So we're going to look for more opportunities for our children to do that through our service learning and buddy programs. Under supportive environment, we had our closeout with the research scientist from PIOSH of the Department of Health. The gentleman looked at three areas that we needed to remediate. One was there was a tile that had become wet sometime over the summer, it looks like. There was some kind of water intrusion, and it had a water stain and what looked like could have been mold. No testing was done on that, but the tile was removed that same day. The reason why it was overlooked, it was in an area of the art room where the kiln is. And since no one was using the kiln or in there, the area around it was clean, they missed that tile. But our maintenance staff looking at it at that moment that the gentleman was inspecting noticed that there was no water intrusion whatsoever. As I said, the tile was removed, and within the month, again, after some of the rain that we've had, there was no water intrusion whatsoever. The other areas were more of management in the way of our air quality. One of the things that we have to do is keep track of how we change our belts, make sure that all the motors are functional, and as well change out all the filters. And there's no standard as to how many times. We do it twice a year. But in that, our record keeping was not as tight. We kept it really to the purchase orders for some of the equipment that we needed, and really should have been down in a log. So we were able to remediate that very quickly. And the last thing was, we have material safety data sheets with all the supplies that you use that have any kind of chemicals in that. And you'd be surprised to know that they're not only in the custodial closet, but they're in the art room, they're in the science room. And we had all the sheets, but the way that you were supposed to organize them is not only are they where they're to be used, but they have to be centrally located, not only in the office of each school, but also in the district office. So thanks to Lynn DeLeo, the nurse at Patrick McGarren, Sherry Ann Boble, my secretary, Mrs. Lenhart, and two parents that I've actually have on correspondence to thank. They took the time to make sure that all the MSD sheets that were in each of these locations were copied and organized, so every place in the district is now covered. And with that, we got a letter from Mr. Pomerantz at PIOSH, which is now on our website, which says that we are closed out at this time. The last thing we have under community partnerships, Mrs. Lenhart and I, in talking to the Finance Facility Committee and the Board of President, have discussed the idea of running a special budget forum. We're looking to have two meetings on December 6th, one at 9 a.m. at the Spruce Run Library, one at 7 p.m. that same day at the Middle School Library. Really what we're trying to do is facilitate a discussion by our community members, and we're going to try to reach out to everyone, parents, business owners, and all stakeholders in the area to see if they just discuss some of the talking points they believe that we should cover in our budget. Really, the board and the administration will be there to listen to see where are some of the focuses that the community is asking for us to ensure or continue to develop, or other areas we may need to cut back on based on their input. We will be sending out an invitation to all for December 6th. And that is my report, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. The meeting on December 6th?
Yes.
That would be in lieu of committee meetings?
That is correct.
Do any board members have any questions for Mr. Carroll about that particular meeting or any other items in his report? Seeing none, we'll move on to the report of the Business Administrator, Board Secretary.
Just calling attention to the various correspondence items as listed, especially calling out the two sets of thank you notes, one to the staff regarding chaperoning of a dance and the other to the parent volunteers, which Mr. Carroll already referred to. Further on in this section, you'll see a motion to move the December meeting date till December 20th from the original date of December 13th. And the week of December 6th, as we've just discussed, it will be the budget forum. And then also later that week, Thursday, December 9th, will be a full board meeting for goal setting. Joanne Boren from New Jersey School Boards will be present. That's all I have.
Thank you. So the week of December 6th, we're asking all board members to come out to the budget presentation, some type of a budget presentation, on Monday evening, and that'll be in the library of the middle school. Where will that
be? The 9 o'clock one will be at Spruce Run Library, and the 7 o'clock one will be at CTMS Library, 9 a.m., 7 p.m.
The 7 p.m. will be where?
CTMS Library.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
If I could just add on to the report, I just want to make sure the names of those parents and actually the Teachers who volunteered their time to chaperone the dance with Mr. Grebeck. The teachers were Diane Cormican, Amy Gittens, and Carolyn Schmidt. And and I'm scrolling down so I can see the parents. My apologies. Rachel Christensen. And Denise French were the two parents that helped us out with the PIOSH material safety data sheet.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Before we get into the committee reports and the public forum, we have action items 018 through 026, which encompass the regular board minutes, minutes from the executive board meeting, as well as the special meeting of the Board of Education, line item transfers, and item number 026 is the comprehensive annual financial report, which I believe was distributed to all board members last month. And we'll see that our newest board member gets a copy of that report. Now I'm looking for a motion to approve items 018 through 026.
So moved.
So moved by Jody, seconded by Donna. Any discussion on any of those items, 018 through 026?
If I may, I'd just like to speak to the board on behalf of the business office and the district, including those secretaries in each school office who play a large role in a clean audit, which, because it happens often here in Clinton Township, maybe not as valued as it should be. That's the work of a lot of people and a lot of hard work and diligent work, and I'd like to commend all involved.
Thank you, Pat. You'll notice on page 4, the top of page 4, which is actually part of action item 26, no recommendations at all from the auditor, the audit company. Again, are there any items or any questions that need to be brought to either Pat or the superintendent? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote on items 018 through 026, please.
Ms. Cresty? Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Lebbing?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Abstain.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkhoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 801.
Any old business that needs to be brought up before the board? Any old business?
One item. We talked about solar a month or two ago, and there was a letter with a proposal to do the evaluation. I don't think we ever followed up on that. What is our?
Right now, we're moving forward with the wastewater treatment plant.
Right.
So this
it's
no.
Off the table for now.
It is. Okay.
Did everybody hear that? Okay. Any old business that needs to come before the board? Seeing none, we'll move to the first public comment, which is on agenda items only. First public comment on agenda items.
My name is Franklin Isaacson. I reside at 39 Regional Road in Annandale, New Jersey. I believe that there is a cancer cluster at McGarren School. Here is why. This is a copy of guidelines for investigating clusters of health events. It was issued by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on 27 July 1990, although much of the material was created earlier. It is still the guidelines backed by the CDC. You may get a copy of this from the web if you Google MMWR 00001797. This is an abbreviated copy, lacking the appendix. The full copy can be purchased from the USGPO. Does this document have a screening analysis? Yes. On page 4, under the heading Purpose, you will find the procedure to, quote, provide a quick and rough estimate of the likelihood, end quote, that there is a cluster. If the actual risk is more than 5 times the normal risk, the probability is less than 1% that the cluster is random. Let's do the screening analysis. Location, here in school. Cohort, 35 adult full-time female employees with an average age less than 30. Actual diagnosed cases of female breast cancer, 7. Normal risk at age 30, the risk is 0.44%, according to the American Cancer Society. For the cohort, the normal risk is 35 times 0.0044, or about 0.154. This is the number of people one would expect to have breast cancer in this cohort. The ratio of actual to normal is 7 over 0.154, or about 45. The screening analysis says that the ratio is far above the trigger value of 5. Even if you double the number of people to 70 and raise the average age to 35, the ratio is still about 11 and still far above the trigger value of 5. There is less than a 1% chance that this is a random cluster. This means that there is a 99% chance that there is a relation between female adult breast cancer and the McGarren School. Keep in mind that epidemiology can never identify cause and effect. Even though the screening analysis says that there is a relationship, it does not and cannot determine the cause. We need to search for a cause, leaving epidemiology behind. Perhaps you believe that the screening analysis is inadequate. In that event, you should ask the state epidemiologist to perform a detailed analysis. At present, the state has said that it has not performed any analysis, whether at the screening level or at the detailed level. Should the state refuse to perform any analysis, I suggest that the board hire either a competent epidemiologist or a competent statistician, or preferably both. We all have a natural desire to prevent cancer. However, if in the future we see more cases of cancer at McGarren, we might see litigation. The guidelines include a text on page 5 after the words legal ramifications, which requires, quote, the principles of tort law that relate to legal proof of causality and responsibility, and how these differ from the sometimes stricter requirements of scientific proof. May I read it aloud? Quote, such principles include the concept of damage, semicolon, the concept of breach of warranty, the understanding that an action or situation is safe, semicolon, the concept of strict liability, which focuses on the product rather than on the conduct, semicolon, and the concept of failure to warn. Legally establishing a cause and effect relationship requires only that a preponderance of the evidence, paren, i.e., the probability is greater than 0.5, close paren, indicates the association, end quote. This text appears to be a paraphrase from the article by Black in the American Journal of Epidemiology. The article title was Clustering and Tort Law, Matching Scientific Evidence with Legal Requirements. If the board does nothing further, you see that the county health department will do nothing, and the state epidemiologist refuses to perform even a screening analysis, we can see no defense in court. I would expect that the board, the board, the school district administrators, and the individual members of the board, yes, each board member will be personally responsible. The litigation would probably also name the County Board of Health and its individual epidemiologist, and the state and its epidemiologist. The county might escape, since it has done nothing, one way or the other. It has no fire. I filed an Oprah request and was told in writing that the County Health Department has no copy of the CTEA report in its files. Now is the time to search for a reasonable and prudent method for avoiding future litigation. This means that if we do not know the cause of cancer at McGarry, then we would be prudent to shut the school until we do. I would prefer that we keep the school open, but I fear that will only make it easier to establish liability during a trial. I look forward to a written reply from the board.
Mr. Isaacson, I'm just going to reply to just some of the things you've said. I've been aware of the communique you've had with the county and the state. You've CC'd all the board members. They've gotten copies of that. I've seen the information going back with a joint response from the county and state. I will not speak as a research scientist because I am not. I applaud you for all the work that you're doing, sir. But I'm here, and the board will speak of it, I'm sure. We are not going to go beyond what we have already been doing as far as engaging the professionals and getting the proper information to them so they can make the proper decisions. And yes, there wasn't a full-blown analysis done because none of the indicators, as was mentioned in Mr. Gona's letter, which is on our website, did not reference the need for that full analysis.
He said that he did no analysis. You could do a screening analysis in a very short time.
What he meant by that is he did not go to the National Registry. He did not go to the local registry of cancers. What he did was he looked for certain markers that would say either that you have environmental or occupational types of cancers or cancers that would be caused, in even with breast cancer, that were in a short amount of duration with a large amount of people over a course of time. He didn't even find that. And I know that you were working on certain numbers, and you had made certain assumptions based on who was working there. And I applaud you for the efforts that you did looking for the real information so you can put your calculations to the test. That information is not available to you or me. I did not have that information, and neither does the county. That went to the Cancer Epidemiologist Services. They did the work. Based on the information we were able to gather, they said no full-blown analysis needed.
That's why I think the county health department is scot-free. They might be brought into litigation, but they'll be dropped by the judge right away.
And I don't see, litigation being what it is, I don't see where it could
go. I'm looking to the future. It costs money. But I'm more concerned about, are we going to have more cases at McGarren? That's the part that
I ask you, sir, read again what Mr. Gona sent to us as far as the types of cancer and the indicators that have come up. And he gave as much as he could, given the information the Clinton Township Education Association was able to get. It was great information, and that's why they were saying there was no need for that full-blown analysis. There was no markers there for them to do that.
There may not be a need for a full-blown analysis, but there is the possibility that he could spend 2 hours and do a screening analysis. There's no argument between him and me about the situation. If you go back at least 22 years, there was a report from Minnesota. Minnesota, in a five-year period, I guess between 83 and 88, received 600 reports of clusters. The MMWR in here mentions over 500, but I believe it was close to 600. Minnesota did 600 screening analyses. They came up with 18 they did detailed on, and ended up with 6 that were a problem. And the epidemiology said there's a relation, but it never found a cause or an effect. You've got to go and find the cause. I agree, but you still got to spend 2 hours. Drunk or sober, you can do it in 2 hours.
And I hope, hopefully you've shared that, what you just shared with the board here, with the county and the state.
I didn't do anything with Denise except send her a correction letter once the American Cancer Society gave me the correct values. And Mr. Gona does not answer my calls. I have his regular phone number, and I have the 688-1185 number. I leave messages regularly, and he does not call me back. Not much more I can do. I'm not going to go down and look for him.
I'm sure the board will take it under advisement.
You can chat with him and he'll answer your call. But he's adept at this. If you go back and look at his first document, He says there were 20 cases, a majority of breast cancer. Hell, majority to me is more than 10 or 11. He sent another document recently. He said, as I said in my first letter, there were 7 cases. He never said how many there were in the first letter. Then he says, well, all the people that are involved are age 40 or older. He doesn't say at what age they were when they were diagnosed, and he doesn't say specifically, in my one point, how many, what the ages were of the female breast cancer cases. I don't care about prostate cancer. You know, you can be 80 and get it, but I'm saying that he dodged the question of whether or not those people in the category of female breast cancer diagnosed risk were 30 or under, and they were.
Thank you, Franklin. Any other items that need to come up before the board? It should be on. It's on.
Yeah. Rachel McLaughlin, to Squires Lane, Lebanon. I had a question about action 11-FF-054. Regarding the power funds and bidding on the FM systems. I remember last month there was some discussion about the FM systems.
Which
one? I was wondering
the FM system.
How did we determine that we were going to use the power funds for the FM systems?
Rachel, this is actually a discussion that started as of last year, before we even applied for the ARRA grant. One of the things that we looked at was that in this case, supplementing the needs of our students, how are we going to meet a broad base of needs? One of the things we know in looking at children with central auditory processing concerns, as well as overall children that we've been able to bring back in the district who have some hearing difficulties, this was one way that we knew that we would be able to meet their needs. So that is why we're making this one-time investment.
This money, once you determine the balance of the ARRA funds, or are there additional ARRA funds left? Will they expire at the end of the year?
There are other funds that we have earmarked for training in the way of inclusion, response to intervention, and other areas for staff to help all children, but really based on our at-risk children.
Is there any money going to be allocated to purchasing testing materials?
Some of it will come up through a response to intervention. That's really kind of an umbrella program that encompasses intervention and referral service, special education, basic skills, and even enrichment.
To share with you that last year my son came up for a triennial evaluation, which is every 3 years you're determined eligible for special education. And the testing that was done by the child study team, I questioned, because as an eligible special educator, I was concerned that the tests that they were using were older. And districts do have a grace period of when they can update their tests, but the child study team was unaware that there were even newer versions available. Today I had an additional meeting about a different child, and I had requested a auditory processing examination because my son was diagnosed by a medical team of experts to have a central auditory processing issue. And upon receiving the evaluation back, I was surprised to learn that there is not a greater IMCAS test available as resources in Clinton Township. I know that from having worked here, and I know that now from being a parent. And so I'd really like to see if perhaps some of the money that's earmarked for ARRA can really look at expanding our wealth of testing materials. The test that I requested, the test of auditory processing skills, which is called the TAP-3, is very common in the state of New Jersey, and I'm surprised to learn that we not only do we not really have access to it, but we don't utilize it. And as a testing administrator, you always have the ability to give a child a variety of tests based on what you think their needs are, but I think that our district really lacks in the types of testing resources and materials that are available. And I think it could be put to good use. So I'd like you to look into that.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Laura Freeman, Grand
think that we should at least do the minimal testing for Patrick McGarren School. There are a lot of parents out there that are really bothered by the supposed cancer cluster. I think that if we at least did the minimal testing, at least it might put some fears to rest as to that there is or there is nothing, and there's really nothing to worry about. It's just unfortunately happened to those people. But I think we should give the benefit to the parents that send their children to school there every day, and to the teachers that go to school there every day, that we should at least do the minimal testing that we can, whether it be soil testing, you know, better air testing, something. At least it may put a lot of the cancer issues to rest, but by doing as little as you're doing, I think that it's not enough. You need to take a little bit of a step forward and do a little bit more of the ground testing or whatever water testing that needs to be done.
Thank you, Mrs. Frieda. One of the things that in engaging the professionals, they are telling us there are thousands of tests that could be done. Without a direction, we could be spending millions of dollars. And in doing so, have no answer at the end of the day. So what we're really looking to do is engaging those professionals. Where is the idea of the cause? We are looking at and bringing Piosh in, saying, where is it that we may be lacking? Well, they went through and tested the air. They went through and looked at our systems and said, this is where you need to be better organized. Everything else was fine. Now, their air testing was more in simple carbon dioxide and things of that, nitrogen, the things that we're breathing, whether or not we have good air exchange. So we're looking at, there's a term where whether or not you have a positive building or a negative building, whether or not there are certain pathways that you're drawing elements outside into your building. You don't want that. You don't want things coming in through your soil into your building. You don't want airflow into your building. You want it so that even though you have the windows open, nothing's coming out except what you're drawing in your unit vents across actual filters. There is a standard in schools that you have to have 20% of fresh air coming in all year long. So that is definitely something that we are able to maintain all year long. Whether or not we start to look at certain aspects, and you can see that on our website, we did expand our water testing beyond the mandated DEP limits and looked at other areas. There's a whole list on it, and the one that came up was the idea of, I'm trying to think of the type of, petrochemicals. And there's a number, but really is it a number that would come up to say there's a concern. And the idea there was we had tanks moved out. They were 500 yards away from our well water. We wanted to make sure that there was no existence of a pathway.
So you did the soil testing then?
We did not do the soil testing in that area. We're going to do a testing of the building to see if, and part of it would be a soil test. Well, sorry, there was soil testing around the tank, all the way around the tank to see if there was any kind of seepage when the diesel tank was removed this summer. And again, in talking to the county health department, the state, and now Piosh, as well as RK Environmental, there are thousands of things you could be testing for. So we were looking for what was the indicator. One of them was, what were the types of cancers we're seeing? Were any of them environmental or occupational? And that's what we did not see. So expanding, one of the things that people were throwing around is radon, supposedly is big in the area. So we are going to do a phase one audit to see whether or not there are any pathways, and then from there, see what would be possible that could be coming in to our building.
Well, I used to work with an environmental attorney, and I know when I did a lot of my background checks, there was some environmental concerns that were raised by you said that the company that was doing the testing was RK?
Environmental. They have a letter of recommendation from the DEP, but they do not sign up for their approval rate because they don't like the standards that the state says that you must have, which is this is a safe building. And they said no one would want to put their name on that and not be sued. So.
Any other questions? Moving on to the committee reports, the Facilities and Finance Committee, Mark.
Sure. Lots of things going on in facilities and
through the late hour. I guess we'll just hit the highlights. The Vaught House subdivision, the saga goes on. The latest issue was involving parking. We didn't make it through last month's meeting because of parking issues. The decision has been made that we will permit parking on the CTMS parking lot, and we will be providing a gravel path from the edge of the lot to the house. That is a permeable lot. It's not going to be paved or anything, so that will alleviate a number of issues that would have been raised if we had wanted to pave something, which we would not have been allowed to do. We're also going to be providing a small paved area in front of the house so that a bus can pull up and drop people off, and then the bus will proceed to Park Mill.
We're not going to provide it. It'll be on the plans.
We won't provide it to me. If we provide on the plans, the organization that's taking over the house will actually have to pay for it. Important point. Thank you. What else? Okay, on the barn, I think I mentioned at the last meeting, we have some upcoming expenses. The barn is going to get structural work on the roof, and the cupola is apparently in disrepair and will have to be either removed or replaced. We're not sure how we're going to fund that. I've suggested that we may want to actually have a public fundraiser if the public feels that the removal of the cupola would destroy the aesthetics of the building. So we'll have to get estimates on that, but that hasn't been done yet. Everybody knows what a cupola is, right? I did not until a month ago, so ours needs to be replaced. Other upcoming expenses involve the treatment plant at Round Valley. A number of years ago, the outfall found itself in the wrong location after a storm had moved the stream. That's been going on for quite a while. So there's some changes being made to the pipes and some maintenance being done on the treatment plant itself as well. Some of that is in our agenda item for tonight. I guess that's it for highlights for this one.
Thank you, Mark. We'll entertain a motion for items 050 through 066. Mark?
Yes, so moved. 50 through 66.
We have a second on that?
Second.
Second by Donna. Any discussion on items 050 through 066? Kevin?
Error spending. One was on the FM system, and the other was on. One was on the FM system, and the other was on full training solutions for RPI training and inclusion training. Just as a follow-up question on the FM systems, how do the staff get trained on the FM systems? Is somebody, or do we do that in-house, or have they been trained already?
I'm going to say that as we've been working on it, I will let Mr. Chipolis speak to that because he's really been the lead for us. Paul?
It is done by both. The vendor does preliminary training, but in order to minimize, since it's a free service offered by the vendor, we do then turnkey it. Training is literally about a 15-minute affair. It is not a complicated system to use, and that's part of the appeal of this kind of system. It's very simple to use and very easy to operate.
And do we know the utilization rate when we have some in place and we're going to put more in place? Is there any follow-up to see if the teachers are using the technology?
Yeah, just walk around the halls and see that the mics are around their necks and they're using them all day long.
Okay.
Yes, we are finding that to be very advantageous in the classroom with or without the students that they're actually installed for.
And on the, now that better, that's video technologies. On the other one with the TTF screen, that 48 grand. What is the format for that training? I don't know if you know, Mary. Is that train the trainer or is that train the instructor?
It depends. The LTI, which is with the supplanted money, is going to be a district-wide training on the next full in-service day, followed up by the mentoring. And they're going to come back with the mentoring to the classroom and to the teachers. We're going to target language arts this year. So at the beginning of the day, it's going to be a full day training for every teacher. The second half of the day is going to target the language arts teachers, which would be all special educators and general educators who teach through pre-K through fifth grade, and then the language arts social studies people from sixth through eighth grade. And the inclusion training is going to be done in the classroom with the teaching teams. So more like a coaching mentoring model.
Thank you.
Any other questions on those items? Before we vote, item 059, I just found that action item to be very, very interesting, if I'm reading this correctly, that it's going to be, this is going to be done at the frequency of, is that Roman numeral 9?
No.
One time. That's one time?
Per week.
Yeah.
I thought it was 9 times per week. I thought that was IX, Roman numeral 9. Okay. No, huh?
No, sir.
One time per week. Okay. Let's do a roll call vote.
Ms. Krasty?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Leving?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel?
Abstain.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 801.
Personnel and negotiations, Michelle?
Yes, thank you. The Personnel and Negotiations Committee this past month have addressed some confidential matters as usual. They've been addressed in various meetings. The other thing that we addressed was we had reported out that we had come to an impasse with the CCEA, and we had announced that we were going to move from the mediation step to the fact-finding step. But, you know, after some talking amongst ourselves, we thought, well, let's see if we can get a shot at it. So we contacted the CCEA and asked if it would be beneficial to have one more meeting in negotiations or whatever you want to call it, to sit down one more time at the table, see if we can run out of thing and try to settle. And CTEA declined. So really we're back to where we were last month, and that is waiting for the fact finder portion of this event of the negotiations to go forward. So that's it for online.
Okay. You want to make a motion to approve action items 093 through 112?
Yeah, I just want to have one clarification on 108 for the C Club. But $150 per chaperone, that'll be coming out of the club fund, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I don't know, do you want to add that just to make sure for clarification?
Sure.
The way it's written, Michelle, is that we are the flow-through, as it's always been, just like it is currently with all the pay to participate.
Okay.
Ski Club has always been that way.
I presume that was so, but I just wanted to make sure that it was clear to all others that are reading this.
So we have a motion by Michelle, seconded by?
Second.
Donna, any discussion on any of the items under personnel and negotiations, which are 093 through 112? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Krasty?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Leving?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes.
Mr. Scheibel? Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
And Mr. Dinkoff?
Yes.
Motions carry 801.
Thank you. Policy and curriculum, Jody.
Fairly late this month. There's a couple class trips we're looking for approval on. One's for grade one to Raritan Valley Community College Theater. The second is for seventh grade, YMCA Camp Bernie. And then I'm going to read action item PC015. We're looking to approve the following budgetary goals to guide the development of our 2011-2012 budget. And I'm going to read it out loud because we've had a lot of discussion tonight from the candidates about our budget. And so this kind of sets us up as we move forward and prepare our budget. So just humor me, okay? One, align district curriculum with updated New Jersey core curriculum content standards in the areas of K-2 mathematics and K-8 science. Number two, continue progress towards meeting the educational needs of the 21st century learner. Number three, maintain professional staff to support educational programs. And then number four, define the rationale for all expenditures through the alignment to district goals and documentation. So we are in the midst of preparing our budget, and we'll look for all to help us and provide input so we can put forward a budget that our community will support.
Thank you, Jody. You want to make a motion to approve those three items?
So I'd like to put a motion forward to approve action items PC013 through PC015.
Second on that?
Second.
Second by Donna. Any discussion on any of those three items? Seeing none, if we can have a roll. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Grace. Which 15?
No,
This is the first I've seen of it.
Right, the same thing. Last year was the same way. It was following the format that was here ahead of time. It was put to the superintendent to put together. I reached out to my leadership team and talked with the BA and said, here are the goals that we're putting out. So,
last year we talked about doing a zero-based budgeting, and that all came out of that. So it was the finance committee where that's how we went forward with that.
Which were goals that I wrote, yes. Right. But those were things that I put to the board as even part of my induction into the position the year before, saying that that's a way that we want to go.
Okay. Roll call vote.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes, on everything, I'll abstain on
15. Yes, 13, 14. Terrific. Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Ms. Leving?
Yes.
Mr. Shadle?
Yes, I'll abstain on 015 as well.
Mr. Scheibel?
Abstain.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes, on 13, 14, abstain on 15.
The vote.
Mr. Dinkoff.
What's the vote?
We have four abstains. 15 won't pass unless we get one more.
Yes, on all three.
Okay. All pass with a multitude of counts. Too late.
Communications, Donna?
Yes, we've invigorated our process. Reinvigorated, I'd say, our content and process for developing the newsletter. I think this month we have a lot of interesting stories to report. And we also got Mr. Dinkoff back up and running with his email, and it looks like we got a good turnout for our board position as a result. So those are two of the things that are on our goals for this year, and the next thing up will be to support the administration in passing the budget.
Okay. Very good. No items to be voted on, though, right?
Nope.
Okay. We have our second recognition of the public, and it doesn't have to be an agenda item. It could be any item at all.
It does have to follow due process.
Due process.
If they did not speak to their teacher, principal, or me, they shouldn't be coming to the microphone. Okay.
Is there anybody in the audience that would like to address the board?
It's a policy.
Following due process.
Which I used to read.
Are you referring to me in due process?
We're referring to anyone who would like to address the board. Go ahead.
The issue that I brought up. Consideration for how the board is spending our funds. Just wanted to make that clear. My question is about the negotiations with the CTDA. I have read in the paper that you have ongoing negotiations and that they've stalled and now seems to be really a standstill between the school board and the teachers association. And it was nice to see earlier tonight that there were so many teachers here considering that they come to work every day do an outstanding job and have at this point, to my knowledge, not shown any job actions. They're working without a contract. I also noted in the paper that in the executive session there was to be a discussion about the superintendent's contract. And so from a public perspective, the notion that you would think about extending the superintendent's contract before settling with the teachers who are without a contract is very disappointing. And I think that something is really around the community. And I think that when you have trouble passing the budget and there are snippets in the newspaper reported on about the possibility of even extending the superintendent's contract, I don't think it looks good for the school board. And so I would just ask the board that you continue to try to work with teachers who are phenomenal and do an outstanding job and have yet to really show their disappointment in what's happened with the negotiations. Thank you.
Rachel, if I may.
Let me, please. First of all, the teachers do have a contract. Their contract expired June 30th, and until such time as a new contract is agreed upon, they'll continue working with the old contract. So they do have the old contract. So it's not a case of the teachers do not have a contract. There's certain rights and privileges and also responsibilities that are contained in a contract between both parties. And that's what they're working under at the present time. The board did meet in executive session to discuss the superintendent's contract. And that was an executive session, and there was no public action taken at all on that particular item. If there's anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I was going to say exactly what you said. It's an expired contract, not without a contract. And as I do not gain tenure as a superintendent, it is my prerogative to engage the board in discussion with regarding my contract at any time. And as I was so well quoted in the paper, that's exactly what I was asking for. More time. Not more money, more time. So just wanted to share that with you. I'm sorry?
What is your contract?
What is my contract? It's a 3-year contract. It could be anywhere between 3 and 5. It currently is a 3-year.
And currently you're in your second year?
I am.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to point out, too, we are trying to work with the CCA. And number one, we're really not at a standstill. We are going on to the next level. And we are administratively taking the steps as they go. And the next level that is given to us by the system that is put forward
by PERC,
by New Jersey, the next step is fact finding, and that is the next step that we're going to. So to say that we are at a standstill is not technically correct, in that we are going to the next level. Number one, and to address your second point, as I stated in my earlier comments, we did reach out to the CTA, and we attempted, as I think my statement was, we tried to take another run at it and try to settle this contract. And it was declined by the CTA, and they chose to go forward to the next step. So we did make the step, and we did make the effort. So let's make that be 100% clear.
I'm clear. It's also typical that a board of education, in the best case scenario, tends to settle a new contract before the old one expires.
And we started this last September.
It takes two to settle a contract, remember that.
I'm well aware of it.
Okay, well, it takes two, so.
I'm just making a comment. You, as a school board, want to pass a budget, and you want to look open and attentive to the public, and I think you need to do our job.
Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. We have on the agenda under new business the school calendar. Are you going to speak to that?
Just briefly, I know that Mr. Dinkup went to a meeting with all the local board presidents in the area at North Hunterdon High School to discuss the topics of shared service and a shared calendar or a county calendar. This is an idea that's come around in many of the counties, thinking about how we could possibly, in sharing out a calendar, be able to work on our professional development together and share out that way, possibly share out transportation costs, and look at other areas where we can combine, because we are kind of seen as one K-12 K-12 region. I do know Bethlehem and Union Township are considering going to the North Hunterdon and Voorhees calendar next year, and there are two other districts that are interested. And Mr. Dinkoff had brought that back to me, and I said, we have discussed that as well. We are in line with the high school right now. The only difference is they start earlier, we end later. So that's where we fall out. We take all the same days they do, even to the point we try to make our half-day in-services coincide with theirs. So that would be a discussion for the board and the community, is if this district would be interested in aligning ourselves with the high school calendar. And I do believe in your board package you got a copy of our projected calendar for next year, just following out the holidays and the 180 days for children, 184 for staff, and then what the North Hunterdon and Voorhees board has already approved this year for next year.
North Hunterdon and Voorhees already approved their calendar. They're starting, I think it's the third week in August. For those board members and those people in the audience that have children, not only in the elementary grades, but also in the high school grades, it really causes some problems. If you have a child in the high school and also in Clinton Township elementary grades, K through 8, your high school child is starting school a week and a half to 2 weeks before your younger child, and also getting out in June much earlier than the elementary school youngster. And as Kevin said, the meeting that I attended with the board presidents from the receiving districts or the sending districts to North Hunterdon and Voorhees, a number of the districts are adopting a calendar where they'll be starting the school year in August to coincide with the North Hunterdon and Voorhees calendar. Bethlehem, I think, already adopted a calendar that starts in August. Lebanon Township, I think, was the other district that is seriously considering it. I've asked Kevin to put together a school calendar for our board to look at that starts in August. I don't think it has to be the exact same date that North Hunterdon and Voorhees starts, because they do start significantly earlier. But if we started maybe the last week in August, it would be closer to what North and Voorhees are doing. So I think that would be something that the board should consider over the next month or two.
It doesn't say that in the contract.
And then the two districts that are changing, was there any mention of like how they decided to do that? Did they like poll the public? Like how did they decide that everybody was in favor of that?
I will find out. I think it was more of there was some discussion and a little bit of pressure from the community. They looked at what it would entail on their end, one of them being their current contract with their staff, and they decided that they would put that out there, that they would try it.
So I think we need to look at it, what a calendar would look like with us starting in August. You know, again, I don't think it has to be the exact same date, starting and ending date as North, but something closer to what they're doing. Go ahead, Kevin.
The rationale for the third week of August, do you know why they want to start that early?
I know that there are a number of reasons that they do start earlier. One is to give the juniors and seniors additional time in preparing for the SATs and the PSATs and the SATs.
AP exams.
The AP exams. Also, it's amazing the number of students that are up at the high school for football, for band, for different fall sports. They start in the middle of August, and the students are there anyway. But I think the big push is because of the the preparation for the SATs and the advanced placement tests, plus the fact that a number of students are there already. And they, you know, it seems to be less hot days. I know you, I do have a lot of hot, warm days in September, but the longer you go in June, the more difficult it is, especially if kids are taking final exams during that time, too. Grace, anything else? Thanks. All right, so at some point in the near future, we'll have a calendar, Kevin, to present to the board?
I will, sir.
Okay.
As I said, the board was given a mock-up of what ours might look like next year and what currently a North Hunter board is.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we've had people come here saying they'd like to have them more aligned. We have families with young children that don't have that issue yet. They're just like, no way, we don't want to come back before Labor Day. So I mean, I would go either way. I just want to do whatever people want to do out there.
No, I really think that would come up as an ad hoc committee through the communications committee just to get feedback and possibly even put out a general survey to our parents to get feedback, just so we get an idea which way.
You know, even at this point in time, people are making plans for vacation during the summer. And I know some people go away at the end of August every year. Right,
some Donna? Some people don't think the summer ends until after Labor Day as well, because they don't want to start school on their birthday.
Are there any other items that need to be brought before the board? Seeing none, I'll entertain. And we're not going into executive session. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I know you guys feel really bad about that. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved by Donna, seconded by?
Second.
By Jody. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting's adjourned.
Yeah, I want to talk to you for a second.
What's it, John? Right? Oh.